Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yeah! Welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Infuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
We've got the show's namesake, BJ Shea.
Yes, you do.
And running the boards is Joey Deez.
Hello.
On today's show, we will talk TV. BJ, you've been watching a lot of television.
You know, I do that sometimes. Uh-huh. Okay, all the time.
Well, in addition to TV, you've been playing some board games as well.
You know, I do that sometimes. All right, all the time.
Sometimes at the same time. And of course, we'll get to the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and more. Or just search for BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, radio.com, and iTunes to find us.
Exactly. And like I said, a lot of television is being watched by BJ over there. And you actually have gotten in on the new Peacock. It's not a station. It's like the app, right?
It's an app, but it was free. And I don't know how this happened. I didn't have to enter any cable information or TV information. I just got to make up a username or basically my email address, give them a password, and next thing you know, I'm peacocking.
Yeah, so I'm looking up on peacocktv.com, and yeah, you can stream right now, and you can get it for free. Email and password is all it takes.
Yeah, there are commercials, but not many, and maybe someday they'll offer a commercial-free version like CBS.
And here's the deal.
Yes, sir?
Like, you have the basic version.
Yes, I'm basic.
I wasn't going to cast any aspersions towards you, sir, but it looks like you can get the Peacock Premium for $4.99 a month, which will unlock everything.
Oh.
So, well, this is how they first get you. They'll get you some of the stuff that you want to watch.
Does the premium version come with more colors or something?
It just says unlock everything.
More episodes.
Peacock has to offer. So probably specific movies or some of the other things. And maybe they'll give you a taste kind of like what some of the like Comixology did, where you can get a lot of free comics, but not like a full run of something.
Maybe the first episode of a show that I'm probably going to dig.
Yeah.
Called Brave New World.
Oh, so what? Yeah, what is this one?
Based on the Aldous Huxley novel. And a lot of people have done stuff based on the Brave New Worldian type of universe, and but this one here is brand new, and I've only watched like a quarter to a half of the episode. I decided, let me pop it in before we talk through this podcast, because I've been hearing about it, and it's got some cool people in it, which is why I wanted to check it out. A lot of great British actors, and also a person that you've heard about in a galaxy far, far away, Alden Ehrenreich, who, of course, played young Solo.
Oh.
He's one of the main characters in Brave New World. I will get, as well as Jessica Brown Finley, of course, who you may remember from Downton Abbey as Lady Sybil, the young one that never,
I think,
spoiler alert, died.
Yeah, I think maybe you and I would recognize that.
She was also in The Black Mirror in one of the episodes. The episodes where they all had to exercise a lot, like they were riding those bikes.
Mm-hmm.
She was in that episode.
Oh, so okay, yeah. That was a fun episode.
And then, of course, one that Vicky will love, Harry Lloyd. And Harry, of course, is the golden-crowned brother of Daenerys.
He was also... No, it wasn't him. I was thinking...
He was also Professor X.
Oh, he was. That was
Legion.
Him.
Yes, and he was also in The Family of Blood, which was a great Doctor Who two-parter. That's where I first saw Harry Lloyd do his acting chops.
So I have to imagine that he's not having that awesome white wig that Viserys had in Game of Thrones.
No, he's... but this is an interesting... here's what I'll tell you about Brave New World. It's great effects as far as taking you into the future of what New London will look like. But it's pretty simple. There are three rules in New London. No privacy.
No.
No family. And no monogamy.
Oh, so you can just bang people anywhere you want to?
And
you would think that would be amazing. You would think that would be amazing, but imagine monogamy actually being as frowned upon as adultery was 300 years ago.
Whoa.
To the point where, and they cover this at the beginning of the episode, and I won't spoil it, but in the beginning of the episode, there is a monogamous situation that is not good. Like, it is hush-hush. Somebody's brought in to talk about a monogamous situation that they're in, and it is They really establish how chilling this new world is very quickly, this brave new world. I like it a lot because, of course, those actors are amazing, and it looks good. And there's a mystery that this show begins to introduce, like what the hell happened. And I'm digging it. I'm digging it a lot. So it's might be reason enough for me to actually pay that $5 a month because, you hooked me. Mm-hmm. I bet it's just a free episode, and if I want more, I'm going to have to pay. But
well, yeah, I don't know yet for sure. Just looking at it right now, there's also a ad-free version for another $5. So if you want to go and get, basically $9.99 will get you everything on Peacock with no ads. So it might be worthwhile for it. I know you always lament the fact that it's like, well, this is like cable at this point, right? With all the different services.
But I also don't mind an ad because then I can go pee.
Good point. You could just pause it too. Woman.
I know, but it's just like an excuse. Pee break, let's go. It reminds me of childhood. You know?
Yeah, commercial break. How fast can we do this?
Yeah, I think if I start getting really irritated at the commercials, I might have to. That's what happened with CBS All Access, is that I started getting irritated. But then there were more shows I was watching on CBS All Access, so it made it all right, I'll pay.
And that's what I did with Hulu as well. I do the ad-free version for that. Just because it's just easier that way. I don't want to wait through commercials.
You should do that for the Peacock Network. And then share your password with me.
We'll see about that.
Damn it!
Well, yeah, maybe I'll just try out the free, see if maybe I can get all the shows that I want to watch and see how they get me on that. Yeah. Worry about that. But you're giving, so far, Brave New World a thumbs up?
Well, I'll tell you, the first quarter and a half episode is really good.
Nice.
I'll just tell you that right now. I'll let you know later.
And checking out the wiki, actually, at some of the casts, and there might be spoilers, so I won't say who was in it, but it's an interesting person that is in the show.
Oh, I know one person who I used to like from another sci-fi show.
Oh, really?
Science fiction. Well, Ghost is in it, if you remember from Ant-Man versus and the Wasp.
Yep.
Hannah John-Common.
Yeah.
So she's great. And so I see that she's in the cast list. I haven't seen her show up yet in my episode.
She's also in the trailer. I just watched the trailer.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. I haven't even watched the trailer.
Oh, you just went into that.
I went into it because I know Brave New World.
Yeah,
I read it years ago, like when I was a young guy. I can't tell you what it was about, but it's about a world that was brave and it was new. But I'm excited, and because it's been so long, I don't have the book to go, it's nothing like the book. I have no idea if it is or isn't.
Yeah, the book was written in the 30s. So
yeah, but I like what they're doing so far.
Some other shows that you've been watching are actually, I don't know, are they recreations of old ones? Because I know with like the Twilight Zone.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely. It's a recreation in Jordan Peele's version
season two.
Of it, and you're on to season two now.
Yeah, and so far I really dug it. I'm four episodes in on season two. I think this time they dropped them all. Quick. I can't understand what's going on with CBS All Access, because with Star Trek, they don't drop all the episodes quick. They made you go week to week. With this, I feel like they did. Somebody told me they had binged all the episodes right when it came out, and I'm like, did not know they did
season
that.
Season 2 dropped everything June 25th, 2020.
Interesting.
And season 1, was just done weekly.
Yeah, okay.
Because it went through April through the end of May.
This is a change. I don't know. I mean, I'm watching it weekly anyway, or at least semi-weekly, because there's just so many shows I watch.
Mm-hmm.
I've liked it so much. They've had some great casting. They put people in these new Twilight Zone episodes, people you know from other stuff. Like the young man in black from Westworld was a feature in the first episode of the second season.
One of the McPoyles from Always Sunny.
Always Sunny, yes. Great episode, Meet in the Middle, about a dude that can't seem to find love in the world until he starts finding telepathic love. And that's all I'm going to tell you.
Interesting.
Then Marina Baccarin, we know, of course, from Firefly and V and Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
She was in an episode called Downtime, which was really fascinating. It was there's an idea that's actually being recreated a lot, and that is the idea that we get to exist in a digital world. And usually it means it's when you're dead or when you're whatever.
Yeah.
This episode shows that you don't have to be dead to exist in a digital world. So that was a really good one. Then there was the one where there was this actor who decided to, he really couldn't get a job. And then all of a sudden, he ended up putting on some really great performances because something happened to him that had him have to play different roles. And that's all I'm going to say.
Huh.
And the actor who is in it, he's been in a lot of good stuff. I think his name is Ethan something or other. he's currently one of the brothers in Grace and Frankie. You know, you've got Coyote. He's Coyote. He's Coyote in Grace and Frankie.
I love Coyote.
Yeah, and he's a great actor. And let's see. Ethan Embry. There we go.
He was in a few episodes of Once Upon a Time, but wasn't bad. he wasn't in the bad seasons.
And in that same episode, we got to see Daniel Sunjata again. And I haven't seen Daniel since Rescue Me. He was one of the dudes in the firehouse back in the day.
Oh, wow.
And I haven't seen, I don't know if Daniel's done other stuff and I just have missed it, but it was really fun to see him again. So that was episode three. And then finally, I watched a fourth episode, which was called Ovation. A lot of people on IMDb didn't give it a high rating, but it was a fascinating concept of like, what would it be like to be a pop star? And really, do they love what you do or do they just love the idea that they love you? Is and it's a very interesting episode called Ovation. And so far the first four episodes I've actually thought were very clever. Jordan Peele did something that I don't know if Rod Serling ever did. Jordan Peele kind of interacted with like part of the episode.
Oh yeah,
I don't know if Rod ever did that as the narrator.
Was usually just the intro,
but
and
I can't remember if he did because
it
makes me want to go back and watch all the Rod Serling episodes. But I don't have that much time right now.
You don't think you do?
I don't. I have other things on my docket. But so Twilight Zone, I think, is worth a watch. My wife keeps asking, "Is it like the old shows? Is it And it really nothing can be like the old shows, but these are clever one-shot, you know, episodes that I think really are very, very well done. And I love that Jordan Peele loves Twilight Zone so much that he's really putting his all into it the way he does. And I really appreciate that. Plus, it makes me think that Jordan's a geek.
Oh, yeah. He totally is.
And I didn't know he was as big of a geek as he appears to be, and I love that.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny now, like, realizing that he's also such a huge horror fan.
Yes.
Like, go back and just watch some of the old Key and Peeles, and there are some times where it gets dark, and he gets dark, and it's really fun to see that now.
That's another thing. I never was a Key and Peele guy. I know that Joey D's watched that show a lot. And it makes me want to go back and watch Key and Peele because of how much I dig what Jordan's doing these days.
Yeah, there are a lot of, like a lot of other sketch comedy shows, hit and miss. You mm-hmm. know, good episodes, bad episodes. But man, like Gangster Hogwarts is hilarious. And A-A-Ron and all the football names.
A-A-Ron.
Yeah, I mean, they have some really good ones.
They have some filthy ones that are fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe there's like a, like you can go on YouTube or something and just get like the best ones to watch, the
I'm
best
sure
sketches.
You can.
All right. Well, somebody can do that. Somebody will give me that evidence. But that's the Twilight Zone. And then finally, in the same note, there's a show on not Disney Plus. It's actually on Apple TV.
Yeah, another service.
Yes, I know. Apple TV Plus. Everything's plus or minus.
So much plus.
You know what? So much plus and a lot of minus on my money. That's really what's happening. They're taking
perfect.
My cash.
Yeah, this one interested me too because I don't know if you remember watching the old school Amazing Stories.
Yes.
And I mean, this was, God, the 80s. And I think maybe it was like on NBC. Or something back in the day. But it was one of those ones where it was kind of like what they've done, like Netflix has done with Unsolved Mysteries, where there are these fantastic stories, and then you're getting to hear about them, and you're like, maybe these things are true, maybe they're not, but overall, they're super entertaining, and for like a little kid, I loved all that ridiculous stuff, and they've brought it back for Apple TV.
I think that you're going to find that it's pretty good, and I find it very, very interesting. I don't know what's going on with society, and I wonder, because they didn't like episode two. And, you know, I have my own commentary. I think if you watch episode two, I think there may be a reason. And I really feel like sometimes I just don't understand people. Maybe it was too much of an emotional episode. Maybe there was a lot involved. It involved people of color. And maybe I don't get why it got such a bad rating because it was a really powerful story. But maybe, you know, maybe people didn't dig it. The first episode was, if you love The Notebook,
mm-hmm.
I told my daughter, you're going to love The Cellar. It was. That's all I will tell you about Amazing Stories. And then episode two, which is that's as far as I've gotten so far with this, because again, there's so many new shows. It's called The Heat. And it's a very interesting story, and it's actually about love. So far, love has been intertwined in both of these first two episodes. And that's why I think the people that gave the episode two such a bad rating, I think, missed the boat. Maybe they didn't watch them in order. Maybe because the characters weren't relatable because they're young girls on a track team, you know, in the inner city. I don't know. They're people of color. I don't understand it. But to me, a great story is a great story. I don't know how everybody gave it such a bad review. I was touched by this story, and even to the point where a tear came to my eye at the end of the episode. So maybe I'm an idiot. Maybe the world's an idiot. I don't know. But I feel like Amazing Stories is well worth a watch from the first two episodes I've seen on Apple TV Plus.
Nice, nice. I mean, a lot of stuff. I mean, you're watching a ton of things.
I surely am.
But you're also board gaming. Oh, well, are you?
Well,
how much board gaming are you doing?
Joey's going to find out today as I'm preparing for a new game, which I'm not going to talk about today. I want to give it a play before I do talk about it because...
And then Joe can rage about it.
Yeah. Well, because I
may.
I've actually had a relationship a little bit because I bought some stuff directly from the game maker, this dude in Germany, and he wants the game to get more notice and pub here in the States. And it could be an epic game, so I hope it is. I'll find out. But the game I want to talk about, there's a couple. And the first one, this is an example of good, really rule book mania, just basically a game that could be really good and the rule book ruins it, and how important it is to have a good rule book. And apparently, you know, what I found from the gaming industry is that you can make a great game and make a horrible rule book. Like, for some reason, they don't go together. Like, the skill set to design the game, you think the person that made the game would be able to make a good rule book. And somehow, some way, it doesn't happen that way. And sometimes, if there's any language barriers, if the game is designed outside of, let's say, my native language, which is English, it's even tougher sometimes to get the right people to translate it properly. And when you have a heavy game with a lot of moving pieces, it's frustrating as hell when something is translated wrong or not. It's just not evident. And that's with Galactic Warlords. It looked really cool. It's like basically Space Risk. There's area majority influence. There's card drafting. There's dice rolling. There's a modular board. There's variable player powers. So really, you thought, okay, art by the Miko, who's done a lot of Valeria Card Kingdom stuff. And, you know, the Miko's artwork. He's done other stuff as well. So it looked like, all right, this is, you know, I mean, this is all over it. Space game, the Miko's done the artwork.
Yeah, right.
And I love the idea of the area control, variable board, and it's the card crafting is the way you get your actions in the game. So there are many different actions you can take, but it really depends on the cards you play and then the action icons on the card. So you might go, geez, I really want to do this, but damn it, it's not on the card. But this is the card that I have, and I want to play this card because it'll help me get more points. And I do love games that make you think that way. I believe it's a good game because there's a lot of back and forth. There's a lot of take that. So our boy Sean from Think 12 Games would love this. But
yeah,
the
right.
idea is basically you're trying to get victory points by basically landing your troops on planets. And you have these different units that do different things that either A, will give you more dice to roll or give you more hits to get. So it's risk-like in, you know, you're putting your units down and you're fighting each other, but there's a lot more variable, and I shouldn't say variable, there's a lot more asymmetry, player powers. You can control your own destiny better than how Risk, sometimes you just want to throw the board.
Yeah, it's just the dice, yeah.
And I know there are other versions of Risk that mitigate that, but I'd rather just play other games at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
I played Risk my whole life in my teens, so I'm so risked out. That I don't care if it's Risk 2020, 1999.
There's no reward in that Risk for you.
Exactly. There's no reward at all. So Galactic Warlords, if you can get it for a good price, it's Battle for Dominion. I would say go for it. Go online, get every fact you can, study those damn rules, study all the facts, ask questions to people, because a good game can be ruined if people don't know how to play it.
We've had that experience with me playing, what was it?
It was Thunderstone.
Thunderstone. Yeah. And you're like, this will be a great game, and we were playing it wrong.
And that's my bad. I should never have introduced you to a game that I didn't know how to play. It's such a disservice to the game company.
And it's like nothing against Thunderstone at this point, but it's just like I see the name and it just gives me negative connotation, so I'll just play anything else.
And it really sucks because arguably Thunderstone had issues because when AEG basically took the license or whatever and redesigned the game, maybe they always had it, but whatever, they did a redo. They really cleaned up a lot of stuff and made it so much more friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have quests, so I just got a new Kickstarter in. So you can keep going on journey after journey after journey in Thunderstone while still playing the game, unlocking cool things, new weapons, new things. It's an enjoyable game now that I'll never get you to play because you're so traumatized. And it's very easy. Like, there's nothing to this new version of Thunderstone as far as learning, but there's still the complexity that they wanted to have there, but just cleaned it up. And it's like the difference between Twilight Imperium 3 and Twilight Imperium 4, cleaning up a game and making it easier for people to figure out, oh my God. Like, you go, you know what? That doesn't have to be that difficult.
So let's not make it that difficult.
I do think that, I don't know, maybe it's the Eurogamer person and the folks in Europe in general who like to have things a little bit more complicated. They love complication to the point where, you know, it's like, if you can't read the rules, it's a great game. It's like, no, I want to play the game. I don't think the rule book should be part of the difficulty of the game.
So make sure you know how to play Galactic Warlords.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't get into this.
Well, that's the thing. It's like the rule book, if you have a question and the rule book says one thing, but the player aid says another, and there were mistakes made, the proofreading errors.
Oh.
And then your mind questions, well, which is right and which is wrong? And then you go, if you play enough games like I do, you go, well, I guess from a player balance standpoint, knowing enough Magic the Gathering, you go, this would be overpowered if it was like this, so maybe it should be like this. And that's not something I want to have to do. I want the designer to have figured that out and then get the rule book right. Unfortunately, with a lot of these small Kickstarter people, they don't have the money or the wherewithal. This guy, Paul Grogan, who does gaming rules videos and people know him, he's now been hired by a lot of people to write rule books because he's that good and meticulous.
Yeah.
And he really, really is good at it, too. So I... But I like it. I really like the game. Just be warned that you will have to go online, go to BGG, and get all of the facts, get everything, and really learn it and think you know it and ask questions if you don't to anybody. Heck, you can even email me if you want.
Nice.
And get in touch with me.
Absolutely.
The other game I want to talk about, I'm telling you something.
Uh-oh.
As much as I'm like Galactic Warlords going, yeah, it's okay. You know, I mean, I really could be better. There's a game that our buddy Josh from the Board Game Alliance and the Omega Gamers introduced to us. It is his new favorite game. We recently had a birthday party and
said,
whatever game you want to play, what do you want to play? And he said, let's play this game, a game called Forgotten Waters. And it is by Plaid Hat Games. And
I like Plaid Hat. They're the ones who did Dead of Winter.
Yes. And it's, as a matter of fact, these are the mechanics. They've got, you know, these not exactly the same mechanics, but Plaid Hat has come out with a sort of mechanical system for games like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know the name of the system right now because I'm really bad, but Josh would. So it's designed by Mr. Bistro, J. Arthur Ellis, and Isaac Vega, and art done by Anton Fadev and Nadiza Timokareva. And I apologize because I'm not really good at pronouncing your names. And... here's the thing, man. It plays 3 to 7. And
3 to 7.
Here's where Vicky's eyes are going to perk up. I should say her ears are going to perk up and her eyes are going to open. It is a pirate game.
Nice.
And it is a pirate narrated, almost choose your own adventure game.
Ooh.
And it is tremendous. A lot of people like this game called Near and Far by Ryan Lockett because of the fact that it's almost like a choose your own adventure. A lot of these games that do that, though, you open a book and you read it yourself.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Look, not everybody's a great reader, and some people are really bad at reading, and there's nothing that kills a game than listening to a monotone reading or even people just stumbling.
Mm-hmm.
It's why I don't like those games. I hate them. I go, I understand the beauty behind them. It's another reason why playing Dungeons & Dragons with a bad DM. It's just like,
you know,
you're just like, man, is this just killing. Well, they solved all that. The folks at Forgotten Waters went out and got voice artists. And this game is tremendous. You get your little small smart speaker, and everything's run by the app. You've got a binder book, which a lot of folks might remember was very similar from Near and Far. There's a binder book that'll tell you what page to go to, and there are actions you can take on this page, along with a beautiful illustrated picture showing you if you're in calm waters or if you're in some other thing. And I'm not going to spoil a lot what goes on in the story, but my goodness, you all get a character, and it's always a new character every time you play this game. You can finish a mission, and then there's a new mission you do with a bunch of new characters, but you have cool, fun character names, and you have attributes that your character may or may not be good at that you can improve upon, and you have to discuss it as a crew. And you basically are in a situation, say, guys, what are we going to do? You make your choice, and then the narration happens. There is so much humor in this, by the way. That's the other thing. The game doesn't take itself too seriously. Sound effects and great voice acting that you really enjoy yourself playing this game.
That sounds cool.
I will tell you one scenario that I had, which just shows you how fun this game can be, is that you've got a bunch of people around you. They're on your, you know, you got a captain,
mm-hmm.
and you've got the first mate, you've got everybody who's got their own jobs. Now, I decided that I was going to develop my ability to talk to people. Like, I was going to be the talker of the group. And we had a ship come upon us. It was a military ship that was going to blow us to bits. Well, I decided to parlay, which is like, let me go over and see if I can work out a deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're going to discuss this stuff amicably.
Exactly.
Something like that.
So we had a damaged ship. They outgunned us. I went over and I negotiated a deal where they were going to repair our ship, give us all treasure, and let us go on our way, which we needed to because we needed to go find a, we needed to go find a place.
Mm-hmm.
And my guys were like, no, we're pirates! And I was overruled, and they all decided to continue to attack this ship.
Oh, no.
And, of course, we get our asses kicked.
And you're like, I tried, guys!
But it's such a fun story, because every time we talk about that mission, it is like, hey, you guys remember the time BJ negotiated a great deal? We said no, and we got the ship killed. You know, this game is super, awesome. Super fun, and it is not difficult to play. I mean, it really is simple to play. There's, you literally go, I will choose this action, and that's what you do.
Nice.
I mean, and that's it. And then the game takes you away. Very, very simple, but at the same time, really cool stuff. So it's called Forgotten Waters from Plat Hat Games.
I might have to borrow this one from Josh if he lets me borrow it.
It's a terrific, terrific game with I don't know how many adventures, because each adventure can take an hour to 4 hours just in itself.
Yeah.
But, but that's okay. I mean, because you get to also pause it, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And then there's a new mission you get to go on. And even if you survive and pass the mission, you yourself still may be dead for a reason because you just didn't do, because you have your own goals.
Up.
You have your own stuff you're trying to do. If you remember Dead of Winter, you were trying to do your own thing, even though you were trying to cooperate.
Yep.
And so it's the same thing with this game where, you know, some people go, yeah, I'm not going to do that. And you're like, don't you understand? We need this shit. Well, I'm going to go do this because it's better for me.
Yeah, right.
So
Forgotten Waters, man.
Yeah,
that sounds fun.
It's so good. The audio is, the acting is so what makes, to me, makes this game. It's just a great acting.
Now it makes me wish that they would do that for Dead of Winter. Maybe they have. I'll have to look that up and
check
see.
It out. I mean, if this game is as successful as I think it will be, they will not be the last.
Nice. Now it is time to get to
the Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Vicky, what is going on?
You know what I love?
What?
Trivia.
Of course you do. I'm surprised it wasn't memes.
No. Well, I've been wanting to do more pub trivia, but there's some things preventing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you can do the trivia without the pub right here.
Right. And this is, it's not so much like questions, just fun little facts, and I love it.
Okay.
Because the first one is about the Matrix.
Ooh, okay.
Did you know that the Matrix code that you see, the little green code,
yeah,
is made up of Japanese sushi recipes?
Are you serious?
Oh, that's really
that's
cool.
Funny. So which one's the blonde? Which one's the redhead? Which one's the brunette? It's a cipher joke. Don't worry about it.
Or The Shining, that Daniel Lloyd, the child actor in The Shining, didn't actually know he was involved in a horror movie until 7 years later.
I've heard a lot of the times when little kids are in horror movies and stuff like that, where you need, you know, sometimes the creepy, terrifying child, they won't know that they're doing that. They just think that they're doing some fun sort of thing.
Or silly.
And it's like acting for kids is just playing pretend anyway. So a lot of the times you can just be like, well, we won't worry about these monsters, or we can add them CGI later. We don't need to worry about that.
Did you know that O.J. Simpson was once considered for the Terminator, but producers feared he was just too nice to be a killer?
Huh.
You know, there was a time where people thought that about him.
Well, and I mean, yeah, he was big in, was it the Naked Gun? Yeah, the Naked Gun movies, I remember him being in
as
well.
And they featured the Seattle Mariners. I used to watch those movies with my dad all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
funny. I love
them.
Or Titanic, that the movie Titanic costs more to make than the actual ship itself.
That's not surprising. The funny part about Titanic was that, like, James Cameron made that movie and just so he could basically bring up the Titanic. Like, that was one of the whole reasons.
He wanted to go down, yeah.
Yeah, he wanted to go down and check it because before, like, that, it wasn't, they didn't even hardly know about the fact or where it was. And then technology and what he has done had made it possible.
So, in the movie Up, according to someone who works at Pixar, they said, we ended up using 10,297 for most of the floating scenes. They're talking about balloons.
Okay.
And 20,622 when it actually lifts off. But in real life, you'd need something like 100,000 3-foot balloons to lift a house that size.
Yeah. So, I knew it wasn't realistic.
Although, fun fact, another fun fact, So did you know that the movie Up was based on a house here in Seattle where we're from?
Yes, yes. It's in the Ballard section. And essentially what happened was is that the old lady didn't want to give up her house.
Yes.
And so the city couldn't do anything about it, and so they built literally all around it.
Well, I had first saw that on Imgur years ago, and I'm like, oh, it's in Seattle? Where in Seattle? I live in Seattle at the time.
Yep.
And I look it up, Ballard. I'm in there all the time. I go to a gym in Ballard, and I look, and it's literally my
right
gym.
Right across, yeah.
And I had been going to that gym for a year, and I never saw it because it's right behind it.
Oh, for crying. And it has all the balloons on it. How'd you miss it?
I know. I wasn't looking up.
Another fun... Oh, nice. Another fun little story about that as well is that the when the old lady passed, she actually gave it to one of the, I guess it was like one of the supervisors that was working on the construction because she had nobody else, and he was the only one that would go and hang out with her and talk with her, became a really good friend and would bring her groceries and do all of those things. So he was essentially like one of the last people to even just hang out with her.
Aww. A not-so-sweet movie.
Uh-oh.
Fight Club.
Okay.
We're not supposed to talk about it.
Well, did you know that Brad Pitt and Edward Norton, in that scene where they're hitting golf balls on the side of the catering truck, they're actually drunk. They were drunk.
Yeah, they were hammered and doing it as well. Yeah. I love that trivia.
Yeah.
I love Fight Club.
This one I don't know if I needed to know, but I'm going to bestow it on you.
Okay.
Batman Returns.
Mm-hmm.
Danny DeVito plays the Penguin.
Yes.
He got bit in the testicles by a monkey during filming.
A monkey?
If you would have finished that sentence with penguin, I would have been a little more, like, accepting of it.
Was there a monkey sort of like organ grinder guys? Where was a monkey in that movie?
I don't know.
I'm like Googling Batman Returns monkey.
But apparently he was on the Graham Norton show, and he talks about that story. So you just type in the Graham Norton show and Danny DeVito... Balls monkey.
Okay.
Find it.
There is an actual monkey in the movie. Yeah, there was one of the...
It was like a capuchin or...
Yeah. It was one of those little ones. And it seemed like one of the weirder Gothamites was one of them that like was wearing like Victorian clothes. And there was a monkey. Oh, that's an adorable monkey.
Haven't you always wanted a monkey to bite you in the boys?
Not after friends. No, I'm pretty good with that.
This probably goes for the Rev. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Okay, Leatherface, yes.
So, Night Court star John Larquette, it was his first film role, was the narrator at the beginning of the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
And for his participation, he was compensated with a single joint.
All right,
job,
sure,
John.
Why not? Yeah.
Well, I don't have any money for you. Here's a joint.
That seems about right if you consider the character that he played on Night Court.
Oh, God, this one smells bad. Nope.
What?
Borat, during his production of Borat, they never washed his suit and it smelled awful. And this was done to add another layer of discomfort for anyone coming in contact with him.
See, we've got a guy here that works with us on the show named Steve, who is a hockey guy. And I've smelled his hockey jerseys that have been sitting in his car for a while. Not good.
Nope.
No bueno.
And this is one of those, like, it's a really dumb piece of trivia, but I kind of like it. In X-Men First Class... This is the second time that January Jones, who played Emma Frost, has been cast in 1962 opposite to an actor with a pork-based name. The first one was in Mad Men opposite to John Hamm.
John Hamm.
And then this one alongside Kevin Bacon.
Oh, that's an interesting point.
That's a kind of dumb trivia.
They need to make a show, a reality show, that just follows John and Kevin around and literally just call it Hamm and Bacon.
Yeah. I like this plan.
Maybe they could check out breakfast places. I don't care.
Pork related.
Yeah.
Called Hammond.
Hammond!
It's like Hamilton, but...
But with them...
Spicier and saltier.
Definitely saltier.
So apparently in Man of Steel, the one that, you know, nobody really liked. Well, how many of the movies have anybody liked?
Yeah.
The languages that General Zod's broadcast translate to are English, Chinese, Portuguese, Esperanto, and Klingon.
Oh, nice.
Esperanto? Oh, that was the one that was created for the movie that Shatner did, right?
Oh. What movie was that?
Esperanto was the language. Yeah, it was like a weird auxiliary language, kind of out of Latin.
I'm not even sure what movie that would be that Shatner's done. I can't think of any movies he's done that isn't Star Trek.
It was called Incubus, 1966 horror film that was done in Esperanto.
Oh,
yeah.
And that was the language it was made for that movie, and that's it?
Yes.
That's a real deep cut.
Yeah. Weird.
Should have spent a little bit more time on the movie and less on the languages, huh?
Well, you know.
Yeah.
71% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, we got another monkey piece of trivia.
Monkey!
And a monkey biting. Okay, it's another monkey chimp. Biting. So while filming the movie, Nemomia, it's Creepers. It's now Creepers. They changed the name, so whatever. Jennifer Connelly had part of her finger bitten off by a chimp during filming.
So she's missing a little bit of her finger? Or did they reattach it?
Wow. I'm not sure if it's like a tip or if it's like side of her finger.
Like a little nubby part?
I don't know.
She's got a little nubby finger?
Ow.
Chimpy
yeah,
why?
That's not right. Cool. Yeah, well, don't trust the chimps, man.
And one more. This one kind of... Oh my God, poor guys. So Kiefer Sutherland, who was in Stand By Me, claimed in an interview that in one of the locations of the film, a Renaissance fair was being held, and the cast and crew attended and bought some cookies. Unfortunately, the cookies turned out to be pot cookies, and 2 hours later, the crew found Jerry O'Connell crying and high on cookies somewhere in the park.
And he was a little kid at this point, or this like barely a teenager at this point.
He was a little chubby boy.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, he didn't know what happened or what was going on or what was wrong with him.
Oh, that sucks.
And if he was anybody like me, he ate a bunch of those.
I was going to say, that's a lot of cookies.
It's like, hell yeah, someone bought me cookies. I'm eating all of them.
Yeah, all of them. I love it. Yeah, watch what you eat, guys.
Well, until next time, guys, stay nerdy.